Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today called Russia's invasion, quote, a declaration of war against the whole of Europe. Russian attacks have already upended countless Ukrainian lives, and the invasion also marks the end of decades of relative peace in post-World War II Europe. To help us understand what this means for Europe, for NATO, and the West, we're joined now by Constanze Stelzen-Müller. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me on.
If you can step back a bit, if you would, and talk about the broader significance of Vladimir Putin shattering the peace in Europe. How are European leaders responding today?
Well, they're responding today, but they've been responding a while longer. I've just returned last night from a brief trip to Germany to go to the Munich Security Conference, where pretty much all the global leaders actually were present in one way or another. The Chinese foreign minister dialed in via video call, but many others were present. Notably, not present were any Russian representatives. But I was actually in Berlin in November and was told there by senior German security policymakers that this was the worst security crisis for Europe since the end of World War II. And I'm afraid that we see today that their dire predictions have been validated.
Constanze, we can't get inside Putin's brain, but what do you think he and Russia might want out of this invasion? To overthrow the democratically elected government in Kyiv? To occupy Ukraine? What?
So there have been a variety of speculative scenarios around this question. And it seems to me that this morning's event have invalidated those who have criticized US and UK intelligence services for supposedly being alarmist. They were not. They were correct. They have invalidated those who criticized Western governments for talking about an imminent attack. Those governments were correct. The critics were not. They have invalidated those who thought that all Putin wanted was to, as it were, incorporate fully the zombie statelets in Donetsk and Luhansk, in other words, within the so-called line of contact. Then there was additional speculation that Russia might only want to annex the Donbass, where most of Ukraine's Russian speakers live. What we're seeing now instead of that is an all-out attack that apparently is attempting to neutralize, dreadful euphemism, to suppress Ukraine's national military, attacks on major cities by the Russian Air Force, and what looks like an attempt to take the capital, Kyiv, with the presumed intent of regime change. That's bad enough, and that's already a lot worse than a lot of people were willing to predict. But it is my sense that this goes well beyond Ukraine, and that, in fact, the entirety of the European security order, and with it, the transatlantic alliance, are in play now. Putin this morning threatened the West with the use of nuclear weapons if we attempted to support Ukraine. That is where we're at. That is an unprecedented act, and I think it's important to let that sink in for a moment.
Given that Putin has majorly upended the post-war security structure, what can NATO and Western allies, Constanze, do now to try to reassure allies in Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, and the Baltics who are deeply worried that they could be next on Putin's list for either cyber or military meddling, that this may well go beyond Ukraine?
Well, I think we're going to see in the next coming days NATO activating the NATO Response Force, tearing up the NATO-Russia Founding Act, permanent basing of NATO forces where until now we've only had rotational forces, again, based on the NATO-Russia Act, in all along the Eastern European borderline of NATO.
Constanze, briefly, we've heard a lot about sanctions and we're going to hear more about them today, but historically they've proved ineffectual often. What impact do you think they could really have on Vladimir Putin and Russia?
I think that this talk about the ineffectiveness of sanctions is factually mistaken and unhelpful at the present hour. For one, we have never been willing to sanction Russia or rather the Kremlin and its power elites more than lightly. So that thesis has yet to be tested. The sanctions that the United States and Europe have lined up together are massive. They are much bigger than anything we have done since 2014. And those 2014 sanctions, that was the illegal annexation of Crimea, of course, in 2014, those are still in place. I know from journalist friends in Moscow that the Kremlin is, in fact, very worried about these sanctions. Finally, The thing to keep in mind here is that in terms of economic sanctions, the burden of those sanctions is asymmetrical between America and Europe and asymmetrical within Europe. What I'm trying to say is that some will pay more than others, and actually Germany will be one of those countries that will be bearing a large part of the burden. So for once, you might say Germany is actually actively engaged in burden sharing, and I think that's a good thing.
Constanze Stelzenmüller is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thanks so much for your insights on this rapidly developing story in Ukraine.
My pleasure, Eric. It's a sad occasion, but thank you for having me on.